The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to the UAB Athletics. What do we call it, the Athletics Chair or Director's Chair? We should call it the Athletics Chair because you are the UAB Athletic Director. We call it the Director's Chair, you know, obviously a movie takeoff there. A show we do every single week. You can hear it 5 days a week right here on Tony Curry Radio. Is doing extremely well. And, of course, also wherever you get your favorite podcast. And we try to be topical here. We're recording this show here on a Thursday, which, of course, is the 20th and is a very special Thursday because March Madness gets underway. We had our play-in games. I had to wear my Muskie shirt today, so I had a really good night last night because my Muskies knock off Texas and SEC squad. And of course, my UAB Blazers get it done against St. Joe's, a squad that I know very well out of the A-10 because it's where our team used to be.
Think that, Tony, you know, that win, Texas lost to Xavier, it does kind of put an exclamation point on one of the problems with the brackets and the whatever methodology is being used. I mean, Texas was 6-12 in the SEC.
Yep.
How do you get into the NCAA tournament? You're 6-12 in your own league. I don't get that.
You play in the hardest league, and the answer to that. You play in the hardest league that there is, and I was surprised. I thought they were going to get 12 in. I was pleasantly surprised they got 14 in. That kind of blew me away.
But they showed themselves.
Yeah, but I mean, I can look at the SEC standings and heck, what is there, three or four other teams that are under 500 that wouldn't make it in either if they had a sub 500 record. If you're just taking teams above 500, we may not have enough to fill the spots.
Well, but think of how you are if you're the fan base at Texas. Your team is 6-12 in the league. What are they? I guess they finished 12th in the SEC or something. By all measure, their fan base must think they had a terrible year, right? Their fan base, I would assume, completely checked out.
Yeah.
You know, and then somehow they make the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. You know? I'm sitting here looking at the SEC right now. And much like your computer, it's not letting me load up. But anyway, I think it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out because, like you said, and I was talking about it on Fox 6 this morning. We are going to add eight more teams? I guess is it 8 more teams next season or 10? I'm not sure how they're going to do that.
They made that decision. I don't think they made that decision.
No, but it sounds like it's like a phone call away or something. It doesn't seem like it's going to be that big of a deal. But then you've been talking about doubling the field, which still would mean that the lowest percentage of any team would get postseason play on any of our major sports.
Then you justify it, right? Yeah. Then if there's a team like Texas that's in that somehow, you know, had a really tough strength of schedule and you felt like they deserved to be in for some reason, it doesn't seem so unusual. But it's so hard to get into the NCAA tournament right now. That's what is such a head scratcher is how would they get in when there's so many other really good teams. And you look through the NIT field and see how many either opted to not play in the NIT. Mm-hmm. Or people like us that are in it that are really good teams. North Texas is a really good team. We do this every year. You know, Florida Atlantic.
I was surprised, by the way. I was surprised, by the way, to see North Texas. They were actually the next four out. And UAB knocks them off. And I'm thinking to myself, well, wait a minute. Why isn't it? Now, obviously, they had some better wins. But, I mean, if you're knocking off that squad, that certainly I knew Alabama, I knew UAB wasn't going to get an at-large bid by any stretch. Yeah. I was hoping that the AAC would get eventually an at-large bid just because Memphis was so good.
We beat North Texas twice, mm-hmm. and North Texas is a 2 seed in the NIT, and we're a 7.
Yeah. Yes. By the way, Mississippi State, Georgia, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Texas all had sub-500 records and all made the NCAA tournament. You got to be really careful because when we sit there and say you must do this in order to get in, another situation always comes up where it doesn't. That's why I hate automatic bids. If you're truly looking for the best field, you know, I would say that most of the teams in the SEC should probably get in. It's not to say like a team like UAB couldn't wreak havoc if they got an opportunity. Tell me a little bit. First of all, there's a CBI, there's a CTI, there's the NCAA, there's the LGBTQ BB. There are so many different postseason tournaments. I love all of it. I think the longer we can play, the more tournaments we have. If we had a tournament that went all summer long, I would love it. I think it's great, and I think it's great for colleges. So people out there poo-pooing, I think it's wonderful. You can hang a banner on or give a squad if you want to hang a banner or not. I know there's one league where you have to actually pay to play in it. Which one is that? Is that the CBI?
Yeah.
So UAB sitting there with 21, 22 wins at the end of the season. You don't make the big dance. How do you decide what's the next step for you? Do you just sit back and wait for the invitations to come in? Or are you already picking the NIT so you don't have to pay to play? Is it better to pay to play? Is there more response you get out of that? Explain that to me a little bit.
Yeah, the teams, the schools that choose to pay to be in these tournaments, what they're evaluating is based on the team that we think we're going to have next year. You know, maybe we kind of finished in a bit of an upswing, and what we saw was the more we played together, we really finally started to figure it out. The guys started to figure out how to properly execute the offense or the defense or the whatever. It just happened too late in the season. We need some games under our belt. And if we get some more games, it's about thinking about, will we be better prepared for next season? Will we be able to start hotter next year? Now, the flaw in that, Tony, is the transfer portal that didn't used to exist. So the thinking used to be what I just said, is this would be a good momentum builder for next season. Some coaches might say, hey, Tony, we're not sure if Tony's going to get into the transfer portal and leave, but if we keep playing, maybe we can convince him because he's engaged with the team. Maybe he won't leave us. So there's a number of reasons why people, you know, play in that tournament. The NIT, so here's how we got into the NIT. So it's interesting. You see all the, you know, the bracketologists, if you will, mm-hmm. predicting who's going to be in the NCAA tournament. And then they do it the same thing for the NIT. So we're down in Fort Worth and we win Friday night and we're not, you know, we beat East Carolina and but the whole bracketology system does not show us in the NIT. It only shows North Texas as a candidate for the NIT. Assuming that they, you know, lose and not win the whole championship. So then we beat North Texas on Saturday, and we kind of thought, okay, North Texas was the only team that was being shown as a possible from our conference.
Yeah.
The only team in our league that was going to get into the NIT. But we just beat them a second time. Maybe that changes things. Well, when we go to bed Saturday night getting ready to play Memphis, we still weren't shown as a possible NIT team. Well, Sunday morning at 10 a.m., you have this opt-out deadline. We have to fill out some paperwork like back in February mm-hmm. saying if we could be in the NIT, we would play in the NIT. So I don't want to say you forget about it. That's not really it. It's just kind of this formality thing that you fill it out and you do kind of forget about it.
Yeah.
But that the way the NIT sees it is, hey, man, you filled that out, so you would play. So, we're about to play Memphis, right? So the last thing we're thinking about is opting out of anything. We're down in Texas. We're taking care of business. So we play Memphis, and, of course, we don't win. But we don't finish that game until, like, 4:30 almost. Mm-hmm. And we clean up, post-game press conference, get on the bus, head to the airport. And while we're on the bus going to the airport, the NCAA tournament selection show begins. Yep. We're watching it, you know, on our phones and stuff. So we get on our flight and start heading home to Birmingham. We haven't heard anything from the NIT or anybody else. We land in Birmingham, and of course, now we've got service again, and it pops up on everybody's Twitter feed, the NIT bracket, and we're in it.
Yeah.
Well, initially it was like, okay, you're glad to be in it, but did they ask anybody?
No, yeah.
Like, what if we had gotten guys hurt or something? Like, if you know, Yaxel Lindeborg's toe was bothering him during the conference tournament, and we've just played three games in 3 days. You know, you're a little, you know, disappointed that we didn't beat Memphis and had a chance. And so there was this moment. It was like, man, y'all announced to the world that we're going to play in this thing, and you didn't even confirm. Now, the NCAA, who runs the NIT, would say, well, you filled out, you signed this contract in February, and you didn't opt out.
But so things change. I mean, a lot can change between February and March.
A lot can change. And so, we did have a bit of a back and forth with them, and obviously we chose to play, and I'm glad that we did. But, you know, something that's new, Tony, that never used to be a thing is, and I've been saying opting out. Like 10 years ago, a football player would not have opted out of a bowl game, but now they do. Mm-hmm. And that would be unheard of, unthinkable before the college football playoff. But now it's a thing that people do. In fact, I think it's kind of in vogue for some of these guys. They think it creates some kind of status for them. Like, I'm so good, I'm going to be drafted, I don't want to get hurt. And so
unfortunately, if they decide not to play, it doesn't hurt them at the next level. It still does. And thank goodness, Yaxel and the Toe are doing pretty well. He goes for 16 and 17 last night. A weird game too, by the way, because for the first 5 minutes it was 4-2, and you're used to kind of seeing UAB run up and down. And I know St. Joe's has gone over. Yeah, I know. It was, and I kind of expected that a little bit, just because I know that UAB was one game away from playing in the Big Dance, and I know they had to be disappointed. But you got to get back on the, and you always look for teams like that to see how disappointed they are.
What I was gonna say is, you got to have this conversation with the guys, like, hey, we've been invited to the NIT. Do y'all want to keep playing?
Yeah.
Because if they don't have it in their heart to mm-hmm. keep playing, you're just going to go somewhere and get embarrassed.
Yeah.
You know, because somebody's going to, beat you. And St. Joe's is a good team. They mm-hmm. got two guys that are being considered draft picks, too.
Yeah.
And we neutralized both of them really well last night. But, you just don't want to go halfway into it, like, all right, you go, like, hey, man, go. And that first game, Andy said it in his postgame presser last night. He said that first game is sort of the hardest one because you're coming off, in our case, that loss to Memphis, and you thought you were going to get into the Big Dance, and you didn't. So you are a little dejected. And if you're not careful, you get beat. But once you win a game, and you win a couple of games, you can kind of get into the, hey, let's go win
this thing. Yeah, let's go win this thing, yeah.
So hopefully that's where the guys are. I mean, now we're in what they would consider the Sweet 16 of the NIT.
Yeah, UAB Director's Chair. He's Mark Ingram, the athletic director for the UAB Blazers, UABSports.com, for everything you need to know about the UAB Blazers. They got all their sports up there. UAB is playing Santa Clara next, 8 p.m. Central, coming up on Sunday night. So we always love the NIT because sometimes you can pit like an Auburn against an Alabama or because they get to make the schedule. How does that schedule work? Why do some teams have to go all the way up to Washington, D.C. when they're down the South? I guess the higher seed or the lower seed, depending on how you look at it, always gets the home game. I was hoping that since UAB had a great season, maybe you get a home game out of the deal. But who makes that scheduling up?
Well, you have an option. You can request to host. Like they ask you, hey, if you play in this, would you like to host? And we said we would.
Yeah.
And, when we played in it last time, the first round, we hosted Southern Miss, which was great because they had a good year. Our fans certainly know who Southern Miss is from our time in Conference USA. And just, geographically being close, people respect that program. And so it's like, man, we're going to have a decent showing. And we did. We had a decent home crowd. The NIT crowds are really hard, Tony, because your season ticket, this is everywhere. Mm-hmm. The season ticket holder doesn't have that ticket. Right. It's not in their package because they don't know you're going to be in that.
Yeah.
And so all the season ticket holders have to purchase that ticket. You don't just get it complimentary. So you've got a very small amount of time to announce, hey, we're playing. We're in the NIT. This is the team we're playing. And it's tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And get your tickets and trying to get that out to your students who may be on spring break or you just, whatever. And it's just hard. It's hard to get a good crowd, but we did. And then we played, if you recall, at Vanderbilt. So that's not far away. That was all really cleverly done. This year, it's just bizarre to me. So UAB, Samford, who I can almost see out my window, right? Jacksonville State, mm-hmm. who if I go around the corner, I can see them down the street. Chattanooga, Middle Tennessee. And Furman's not that far away.
No.
But, we're all six you know, we are nearly, we're 20-25% of the whole bracket, right?
Yeah.
None of us are playing each other. Georgia Tech. Okay, so they sent Jacksonville State to play Georgia Tech. That was a sensible move. They sent Chattanooga to play Middle. Sensible move. But they sent us to Philadelphia to play St. Joe's, and they sent Samford all the way up to Washington, D.C. to play George Mason. And now really the real flaw in it is that we and Jacksonville State, who both won, Samford lost, Middle lost. I don't know where Chattanooga's going, but we and Jacksonville State are both flying to California to play the next round. Like, what an awesome game would that be here? Now, if we're both fortunate enough to win, we will play at Jacksonville State.
There you go.
That'll
well,
be nice.
And I, as a fan standpoint, I know you got to look at the bottom line, but I think it's exciting. When I see UAB and St. Joe's, what a great matchup! I follow
St. Joe's. I love the matchup. It's not bad.
And I realize that, because I mean, I'd much rather see you play someone that I know really well instead of an MTSU or something like that. And I understand where you're coming from, because if your fans travel like they would with those seven teams, then you're going to have a fuller house and it's going to be more competitive, and of course, it's going to be better for everyone in the NIT. Talk about real quick about these leagues that you can pay to play. How does that work? What is that all about? And why don't we have more of those? Why would you choose to pay to play? What's the positives there?
Yeah, well, that's actually what I started with, is the pay to play tournaments are you're looking at your squad and you're thinking, we sort of came together at the end of the year and we played really well our last, you know, five or six games, but not well enough because we started slow. We're not making the NIT, but man, I think we could be really good next year if we could keep this group together. And so it's about thinking about next season. If we get in front of it, we could.
So it is teams that are not invited to the NIT, or is it? Or could you decide to go and pay? Could you pay and play even though you're invited to the NIT?
I guess you could, but you wouldn't. And that's, Tony, sadly, that's what happened with South Alabama. And now I'm forgetting who the other school was, but the other tournament, CBI, made their announcement. I think it was CBI. They made their bracket announcement before the NIT, which they should not do. And so somebody believed they weren't getting into the NIT, mm-hmm. and accepted the bid to this third tournament, the pay-to-play tournament.
And then found out that they got in.
Then they found out they got in. And so they said, oh, well, wait a minute. Well, we would play in the NIT. Well, the NIT was like, I thought you were playing that other thing. They said, well, that's because we didn't think we were in your tournament. We haven't heard from you. And these guys are calling, you know, wearing our phone out. And so, and that's how South Alabama got bumped out of the NIT.
That's kind of crazy.
Which is just an error. I talked to the guys from the NIT. Listen, you know, I know the NCAA, people get, they all get just beat up for all sorts of things. I just said, man, y'all just need to have some communication outreach as part of your plan.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as the NCAA bracket is set, y'all know who it is. You know who's in it and who's not in it. You should immediately be on the phone calling everybody going, hey, look, Texas Tech, you didn't make it. Would you play in the NIT? You're not? Okay, we need to know. You got 15 minutes. We need to know.
Yeah. Best-selling video game of all time, EA Sports, is coming out now with College Football 26, 25. Of course, there's a best-selling one. Kids were given somewhere between $500 and $600 to be on the game. You and I had this discussion, how cool would it be to be in a video game? How cool is that? Yeah. They have just announced that they're going to go up to $1,500 per player. Yeah. And, of course, a lot of this leaked out because they're already doing the photography and the front of the package itself, and they've got several coaches that are actually part of that. So good for college players for getting that extra bump. But also the NCAA just a couple days ago now allowing athletes to negotiate NIL deals before they enroll with their school. I didn't even know that they couldn't do that anyway. I thought they were already negotiating before they enrolled. I thought that's how they found out where they were going to go to school.
This is the typical hey, we're going to change the rule because you're already breaking. Everybody's breaking.
Yeah, the tube's out of the toothpaste, yeah.
Yeah, everybody's breaking the rule already, so let's just make it legal because everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
Technically, Tony, you weren't supposed to negotiate with a player what they were going to get. If you were the coach, you're supposed to say, if I was the coach, I was supposed to say to you, Tony, hey, Tony, we want you to play here. We're going to pay for you to, you know, your scholar. We're going to give you a full scholarship. And what does that include? And hey, listen, I'm gonna watch your phone because you're gonna get another call from our collective. They have an offer that they would like to make you. And then and then this other person call you. Hey, Tony, I'm Steve from the Magic City Impact Collective at UAB. You're so special, and that guy, by the way, that guy Steve doesn't know anything about football. He doesn't know anything at all.
Sure.
And he's calling you to tell you that they're going to pay you this much a month or whatever. Negotiate, and you could say, "Well, I want $5,000 a month, not $4,000 a month." And they go, "Well, we can't give you that." And now theoretically, I'm leaving it up to Steve to negotiate with you as the player, and Steve might lose you.
Yeah.
I'm the coach. Wait a minute. I'm the one that recruited you and evaluated. So, that was not happening. Most people were just saying, look, this is what the collective is going to offer you.
Yep. Yaxel had just an amazing year. I heard on a telecast this past week that he had a lineup this year. His stat line was unlike any stat line that anybody ever had in college sports. It had everything to do with his points, his rebounds, his blocks, his steals. It had all the five major things, and that no other basketball player in history had ever had those types of numbers. He's had 24.
Yeah, it wasn't even an honorable mention in the All-American.
Ridiculous. Loved seeing him go for that 30-20 ball game, which I thought was fantastic. And I think a lot of people have been waiting for that moment for him. And then, of course, he backed it up a little slow in the first half that next game, but he came on in the second half. And, of course, again, last night, 16 and 17, respectively. He's got a year of eligibility left. What's your thoughts on, I know you can't say this, but because I've got email questions ask Mark if Yaxel's coming back. Is that a kid you're worried about the NIL? And what has he told you about his, because a lot of people are saying that he could go NBA, but if he's not even getting a first mention, it would behoove him, I think, to go ahead and spend another year with the UAB Blazers.
Well, yesterday, before the St. Joe's game, Steve Mitchell and I were talking about this, and Steve had seen somewhere that Yaxel was picked like or predicted to be like a late first round draft pick. So not a lottery pick, but a first round draft pick to somewhere, whoever had the 29th pick or something. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about this because St. Joe's had a guy who was picked, predicted to be like five spots in front of him. And so we were talking about that matchup. And last night, Yaxel dominated that guy. Yaxel went for, what'd you say it was, 16 and 17?
Yeah.
16 points, 17 rebounds. I think their player, is his name Reynolds maybe? He's number 13.
Yeah.
He went like 6 points, 2 rebounds or something like that. It was a joke of a difference. And anyway, the point is, I think that if he can get drafted and feel like his money is guaranteed and it's not a G League situation, that's what he's going to do. If not, then there's going to be a ton of places trying to get him and pay him like money we can't even consider. Sure. Like he would get $1 million to $1.5 million out of some of these schools easily.
What is he 6'9", 6'10"?
He's 6'10", but his wingspan is like
7'2". Yeah.
And he's got an incredible knack for the angle of the shot and where the ball is going to be. It's a really remarkable.
And I know Coach Kennedy is talking about this because it obviously behooves him for Yaxel to stay another year. But to me, there's a big difference between going, 28th in the first round and going sixth. We saw some flashes of greatness from him.
Yeah.
Like some things that we'd never seen before. That third 30-20 game was one of those examples. And I was really interested to see how he's going to perform the next night, because I said, we've seen this all year long. And next night he goes for 6 and 5. And I'm like, what's going on? And you've even said on the show, coaches like, so sometimes don't come back here until you shoot the ball 30 times. I want to see what you're made of. So every time he takes a shot, even when he misses, it's always a close miss. I'm always happy to see that. So I'm thinking, if there's one dude who could use one more year of tutelage under a great coach like Andy Kennedy, he could really raise his stock a lot. Not only help the UAB Blazers, obviously, but I mean, having $1 million payday in front of your face.
He'll have people in his ear, though, saying, hey, man, He's taught you everything you can. Maybe you need to change your logo on your shirt and go take that million and a half. And that would also improve your stock. Yeah. I mean, the fact that he's not an honorable mention to me is it's just a disgraceful display of how the mid-majors are treated. The kids in the mid-majors are treated. The schools are. It comes back to all this is so flawed in terms of the way people think of how your program is historically versus how you actually are. And Texas losing to Xavier last night is just the exclamation point of that whole issue. They're in it. Texas is in the tournament because they're in the SEC and because they're Texas.
Yeah.
They're not that good.
Yeah. No, they weren't. They've been sitting there at that 10 seed all year long and just kind of playing 500 ball. And again, you mentioned they were 6-12 in conference play, and you're probably right. And thank goodness for Xavier, they were lousy because Xavier had to play their you know what's off to get that win 86-80 last night. He's Mark Ingram, the athletic director for the UAB Blazers. Go Blazers, UABSports.com. So I was writing this article for Rolling Stone magazine. I was actually thinking about you while I was doing this, and they were asking me to talk about the concert experience. We have a brand new venue opening up right down from Protective Stadium. It's going to be killer. Boy, they got the thing up quick too, by the way. They've got a whole host of James Taylor just announced he's going to be playing. Rod Stewart's going to be down there. Dave Matthews Band, all the regulars. And hopefully we'll have some bands we haven't seen in quite some time. It's going to hold about 7,000-8,000. And they did a study with a bunch of concert goers to find out if people that go to a certain number of concerts on an annual basis are actually happier over their life because of something called collective effervescence. Collective effervescence is something that you would feel at a UAB football or a basketball game, at a church. Anytime when you get a large number of people that are all on the same page and all rooting for the same thing, you can have collective effervescence. And that's why, you know, you watch a concert on TV, it doesn't beat anything about sitting on the front row at a Doobies concert. It's just so much better, and you always feel really good. And what they found were people that go to concerts traditionally are healthier and happier. They also found out that buzz can last up to a week, depending on what your situation was with that concert. And they also found out that out of 789 people, 81% of those people were happier over their entire lifetime just because they had maybe gone to one or two concerts that really affected their life. So I wanted you, and I can remember, we've done top five shows, we've done all these things. I want you to name a concert where you had the goosebumps going, man. Like you went and you knew it was going to be, because sometimes you go to a show and you know it's going to be great, and it's great. Sometimes you go to a show and you get so high for it, and it just ain't what it's supposed to be. And then sometimes you go to a show and you are just absolutely moved, and you're like, wow, I didn't expect this. And you walk away going, that was a great experience. Can you name one of those for me?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's shows where I went and I was really surprised that I did not expect a group to be as good as they were. And then there's other ones when you say moved, that's a little different. Like, you know, like going to like a Jimmy Buffett concert and everybody is singing every word of every song. Mm-hmm. You're kind of collectively, the entire audience is singing the same thing together. That was, I don't know if moving, that's a little deep, but that I think would fit it best into that category. I saw Kiss with their makeup on, and I wasn't like some huge Kiss fan, but when I saw that show, I was immediately a Kiss fan. I went out and bought everything that I could get, every you know, album they had that I could get. They were terrific. And then there's, you know, there's other people. Like I went and saw, remember the band Offspring?
Oh yeah.
And they had this punk rock band called Rancid open up for them, and they were incredible. They were great performers. It was at this hole in the wall place, and they were just running all over the place, and they sounded great. They were intense. And then Offspring came out and kind of laid an egg, you know, So, yeah, in terms of moving, I would say that, you know, a show like a Jimmy Buffett show where everybody's singing together kind of fits into that effervescence that you're talking
about. Well, what I don't think people realize, and I got a chance to talk to Tom Johnston the last time he came through town with the Doobie Brothers. I paid $300 to sit on the fifth row with a friend of mine. And yeah, the better your seats are, the better the show is, period. When you're encapsulated or you're enveloped by the sound around you, it's hard not to sit in the front or second row and not experience, even if it's Barry Manilow. It's going to be a great show because you're right there and you're so immersed in it. And he spoke to me after the show and he's like, wow, I hope you enjoyed the show. And I said, it's one of the top five shows I've seen. I've seen the Doobie Brothers just so much that Tom knew who I was. Yeah. And I brought them on stage a million times. I said, I've seen you 30 times. I said, that was one of the best shows I've ever seen. He said, you know why? And they're all in their 70s. Yeah. And I only went to see him because Michael McDonald was with him. And I have always wanted to see Michael McDonald with the Doobies. And and he was fantastic. And he kind of took his place. He wasn't in the front of the band all night. Didn't play any solo stuff. He all played Doobies. But he said, man, it was the crowd. He said, I can't remember the last time we did a show where everyone was on their feet the entire hour and a half. He said, I've never seen anything like it. Cause you know, I'm respectful. I paid good money for these seats. And if I want to stand up, damn it, I'm going to stand up. I don't do that because if people are sitting behind me, I even do that at basketball games sometimes, you know, I don't want to get in the way, but if they're playing something where everyone's up and the person behind me don't want to stand up, it's on you. And so, but everyone stood up because I had never seen so many 60-year-olds on their feet for such a long period of time, you know, because the Doobie Brothers have been out for 50 years and you see people with walkers, everything. And he goes, we played off that. He said, we actually added a couple songs. They played South City Midnight Lady, which they normally don't play. He said, we added a couple songs just because the crowd was so into it. So, you know, next time you go to a show and you're into it, remember the band feeds off that too. And they have a collective effervescence, particularly when they're playing two or three shows a week. That can make a big difference in a show. So think about that next time. All right, my man, go get him of the Blazers. I wish you were playing some home games. I was kind of hoping that was going to happen. That was the one good thing about perhaps an NIT invitation. But go get him, Tiger. We'll see if we can bring home an NIT championship.
Do my part.
Do your part, and we'll catch up next week.
All right. Sounds great, Tony. Thanks.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.